Good to see everyone this morning. We welcome you to worship. A few announcements I'll make as we get started. We'd like to find out who is in worship today, members and guests. There's a pew pad on every pew. We invite members and guests. Take this, write your name down, give us contact information if you choose. Send it down so everybody has a chance to fill it out on your pew. Once it's at the last person, if you could send it back to where it got started, we do ask that first person. When it comes back to you, please help us out by tearing the pages that were used today, and our ushers will collect those at the end of the service. So thank you for that. Reminder, we are having children's time today. Make note of that. Also, other things are listed there in your bulletin under opportunities for the week. Including our New York City mission team. Our high schoolers are going to New York City. We are meeting at Oscar's Grill just after this service at 12:30. So we want to make note of that. Regular schedule this afternoon, including grief support and all the youth events. Let's see. GAs, they're holding a pancake breakfast at Applebee's on February 1st from 8 until 10. All the proceeds are going to help with our backpack school lunch or school food program. They are working very hard. The tickets are $7. You get to go to Applebee's anytime from 8 to 10 on that morning on February the 1st. And all the Applebee's is giving the proceeds back to us, that the GAs will give that money to the backpack food program. So please support them. There will be tickets that are for sale, many opportunities for you to support that ministry. Tomorrow morning at 10 o'clock, Pursuing God's Love, the Bible study, will happen tomorrow morning at 10. And other things are listed there, including primary basketball. This is for our four-year-olds through our third graders. We will be meeting this Thursday at 6:30 in the gym, and we hope that you can be a part of that. Aerobics classes have been going on, started last week. You can continue to that. Seniors are Tuesday morning, and then all adults will be Thursday evening. So many other things there listed. Hope that you will be a part of that. We want to say a special welcome to our guests this morning. You have given us your information. We appreciate that very much. If you're a guest, we'd like to give something back to you. These ushers are coming down the aisles now. Just raise your hand if you are a guest, and they will give you a packet of information. Inside that packet, you'll find a letter from our pastor welcoming you to our church. Also, you'll find a little bit of the history, the story of College Park, and the latest newsletter that tells you what's happening in the life of our church. So thank you for being a part of that. We're very excited this morning to begin in our time of worship. We have a CBF missionary who is coming to speak for just a moment, and we welcome Todd Helm to the pulpit.
Hey, in Isaiah chapter 55, verse 9 and following, as the heavens are higher than the earth, so are my ways higher than your ways, and my thoughts than your thoughts. As the rain and the snow come down from heaven and do not return to it without watering the earth and making it bud and flourish, so that it yields the seed for the sower and bread for the eater, so is my word that goes out from my mouth. It will not return to me empty, but will accomplish what I desire and achieve the purpose for which I sent it. In 2002, your church and about 1,800 others sent my wife and I to serve as missionaries in Mauritania. It's in the coast of West Africa, just beneath Morocco. We've been serving there as a result of your faithful giving. You've been giving to the offering of global missions. You've been giving to the Cooperative Baptist Fellowship of North Carolina, and it's been paying my salary. So I'm really happy to be with you today to say thank you for being faithful to do that. We've seen some incredible things happening. The Word of God says that every word of God is flawless. I experienced that one day when we were crossing the border from Mauritania into Senegal. And I wanted to do something to communicate with that border guard who was writing down the numbers from our five passports. So I thought, well, he was trying to learn English, and so I said to him, I want to give you an English sentence for you to practice reading and saying. I got a sheet of paper and I wrote down John 3:16, and I gave it to that man. I said, practice that. That's a good word. That'll help you learn to speak English. I went away and I forgot about that. I was crossing the border in a different town about a year later. That border guard had moved places. I didn't know him, but he said to me, I know you. You gave me a sentence. He said, I want you to give me another sentence. The word of God is flawless. He is a shield to those who take refuge in him. When I first arrived in the country, my fellow worker, he said to me, we must not be ashamed of Jesus. We must not be ashamed of his word. Today is a day of ordination. In a sense, it's a day of commissioning. But we are all special people in God's sight. And we have this precious, flawless gift. And it's worth sharing. Today, we're going to be worshiping. We're going to be looking into this word. We've come here expectantly to open God's word that it can speak to our hearts and that it can minister to us and do what we need, each of us, that it can be our shield and our refuge. So I'm delighted to be with you, and it's with a lot of pleasure that I say thank you for giving.
Hearts have already been greatly blessed today in this service of worship. Would you join me for our invocation? Oh Lord, thank you for the words we have heard from your word, reminding us that your ways are higher than our ways and your thoughts than our thoughts. So we come bowing before you on this special day of worship. We come and bow before your throne asking, Almighty God, that you speak words to us of guidance and wisdom and strength and love, of mercy and compassion, forgiveness and grace. Cover us with yourself as we seek to worship you and to glorify your holy name. Now we thank you for this service of ordination today. Remind us that each of us is called to serve. It is never too late to discover the calling that you have for our lives. It is never too soon or too early to give ourselves over completely to your will. Remind us, O God, how important it is for each of us to follow your voice and to follow your will. In thy name we pray. Amen.
God, our Father, we adore thee. We adore you.
all the kids, come on down. I think most of them are down there. Some, come on down. All right, it's good to see everybody this morning. There come. Slow down, Jerry. We'll wait for you. We'll wait for you. Okay. Does anybody know? Just take a seat. There you go. Crisscross applesauce. Everybody crisscross applesauce for me. There we go. Now, anybody know what this is? Towel. Yes. And what ways do we use towels? What do we? To dry you off after swimming? Yes. Take your shower? Yeah. Do what? When you get done washing your hands? What? What did you say, Hampton? After you take a bath? Yeah, there's also, do you ever go out to eat, like at your favorite restaurant, for picnics? Now, sometimes, do you see the people who serve you food, do they have towels that are like this, and they wipe off the table, and so waiters and waitresses will use this, right? Well, this morning, there's a very special thing that's going to happen in just a few minutes. It's called an ordination. We have deacons in our church, and the deacons, well, when I look at this towel, I think of our deacons, and here's why. The word for deacon actually means waiter. It comes from an old word that means waiter. And what do waiters do? They serve people. They serve you food at your restaurant, then they come to clean up after you, right? Can you get that food out of the kitchen without a waiter or a waitress? No, they have to bring it to you. They ask you what you want to eat, they bring you the food, and they clean up after you. That's what the word for deacon in the Bible really means, is to serve. And so whenever I think about all the looking at this towel, I think about our deacons. This is a towel I got when I graduated from school. And they reminded us, when we got this towel, to always be a servant. You see these people that are right behind you? Look at these first few rows. These are some of our deacons. Two people will be ordained today, Miss Lori and Miss Alice. They are brand new deacons to be ordained. And I want you to know, when we talk about our deacons, their job is to serve you, because that's what God has called them to do. They want to help you to learn more about Jesus. They want to help your families. They want to know that they are praying for you. That's what a deacon does. A deacon serves God by helping you. You understand that, what a deacon is? All right, so when you see a towel like this and you see a waiter, you remember, that's what our deacons do. That's, they serve us, okay? This is an exciting day for them. Will you pray with me? Will you pray with me? God, thank you so much for the humility that Jesus showed when he came and lived among us. His whole life was about serving people. And I thank you for these deacons who serve our church and our children so well. Help us to take their example and go out into the world and serve just like Jesus did. In Jesus' name, amen. Go back to your seats. Good job.
pray with me. Lord, we thank you for this beautiful day, for the sunshine and the warmth in January. We thank you for new beginnings and look forward to what this year will hold for us. And Lord, I thank you for the group that's in front of me of servants, and particularly the two Christian ladies that have been called and have answered affirmatively for you. I look forward to serving with them. And Lord, I'm so thankful for this group of believers. Now be with us as we give our offerings to you and go through this week. In thy name I pray. Amen. Thank you.
This is a glorious day of worship together. Choir, thank you so much. I understand that was your direction to her, that you needed to sing that today, right?
Oh, just tremendous. Oh. We come together as the body of Christ to celebrate and to give praise and to give thanks. And this morning we give thanks for those who are willing to be set apart from ministry in a little bit special way. As Jeff has already said, the word deacon literally means servant or waiter, servant's heart. So therefore, the position of deacon is not a position of power, despite what some may think. It is a position of leadership given to those who have exhibited a servant's heart. A servant's heart. Much in the fashion that our Savior exhibited leadership through servanthood, we are called to do exactly the same thing, to lead by serving. And so that is what we celebrate on a day like this. That is what we call these who are before you. Some are leaving active service. That's what we say, but they know better. They know that once you've placed your confidence in them, that they are in a position of leading this church, and we are so thankful that they take that seriously and that they continue to serve here in this congregation. I'm very thankful for those who have been working with us for the last year. I'm going to call on Karen in just a moment to recognize those who are completing a three-year sentence, as we call it. But it has truly been a joy to work with them. It really has. I shared with them several meetings ago that I look forward to Deacon's meeting. I don't know that they do, but I really do, because it truly is uplifting to go into Deacon's meeting and to be with these men and women who really have the heart to be used by God, and it's truly a blessing. It really is. From God's Word, 1 Timothy chapter 3, Paul is writing to his son in the ministry, Timothy, and he's giving him practical instructions in regard to things about the church, the body of Christ, how to be the body of Christ effectively. And in his first letter, as we have it recorded in chapter 3, he begins in verse 8. He said, "In the same way servants," also translated deacons, "in the same way servants in the church should be dignified, not two-faced or heavy drinkers or greedy for money. They should hold on to the faith that has been revealed with a clear conscience. They should also be tested and then serve if they are without fault. In the same way, women who are servants in the church should be dignified and not gossip. They should be sober and faithful in everything they do. Servants must be faithful to their spouse and manage their children and their own households well. Those who have served well gain a good standing and considerable confidence in the faith that is in Christ Jesus." Thank you for your service, your continued service. Karen, would you come now, please?
Thank you for your Good morning, College Park. Good morning. On behalf of the six of us rotating off the board, I will just speak for all six of us. It has been our pleasure and our great privilege to serve you in this past 3 years. I'd like to acknowledge the six who are rotating off, so if you would stand, I want to call your name, and I think we may be scattered all over the sanctuary. So Andrew Osley, if you'd stand when I call your name. Mike Beeson, Carolyn Ely, Robert Huff, and Nancy Hurst. Thank you very much for your term of service, for your term on the board. But we're not done. As Raymond just mentioned, I mean, our term, you can sit down. Our term on the board is over. And I'm not sure that most of us are probably real sad about that. But our term of service is not. I was studying a passage in Matthew this week that talked about Jesus giving the disciples instructions on feeding the 5,000. And as I thought about that and contemplated rotating off this board, it really struck me that, you know, whether we're on a board or not, Jesus calls every single one of us to pick up that towel and follow whatever he leads us to do to take care of his people. So that's what we're all called to do. Thank you for the six who are rotating off, and we look forward to the next years with those coming on. Thanks.
And a special word, thank you to Karen for serving as our chair of deacons this past year. Did a tremendous job, and her heart came through in every meeting, and that was reflected on the board, and that's contagious. So thank you, Karen, for your leadership as well. For those who are being newly installed today, I'm going to ask Kent Hobson if he would come. Kent will be our chair of deacons for this coming year. Actually, we're in it now, so 2014. He has already begun service as our chair of deacons, so he will come and recognize those to be installed this morning.
For those that are being installed, I would appreciate if you would stand when your name is called. Wayne Lewis, Carolyn Matthews, Chris May, and Sarah Talley. Thank y'all. Y'all may be seated. One of the things that we need to talk about, not only just the six that are coming on, as well as Lori and Alice that will be ordained, the office of deacon is a biblical, vital, and important office in the life of the church. The first church recognized the importance of deacons by serving, helping out. The role of deacon is crucial to a pastor being able to do what he is called to do. If the deacons don't function, eventually pastors can't pastor. Deacons are called to serve as an extension of the pastor's ministry. We cover for the pastor when he can't be in two places at one time. That's why we're here, to help and to serve. We are to be godly, which is right out of 1 Timothy. It's noble, it's a noble and pretty much impossible goal to attain, but it doesn't hurt to try. Deacons are servants in the biblical way. We also serve here in our church. We serve as Sunday school teachers, Sunday school members, RA and GA leaders, choir members, committee chairs, and committee members. And we serve on our pastor's team. We need to be visible and available. We need to be visible and available at the functions of the church, from basketball games to business meetings and most everything in between, especially our small group Bible studies. That's where we get fed. Before we were elected deacons, God laid it on our heart that we should serve our church. So this is a process that each of us that have been elected deacons have gone through. God put it on our hearts that I need to serve. I need to do more. I need to help my church. Then we allowed our names to be put on a ballot. We were nominated. We let our names be on a ballot. And the congregation elected us. We have been given this confidence we do not take lightly. There's a saying that if the people will lead, the leaders will follow. We need to say that long and loud and everywhere we go. We serve at the will and pleasure of you, our congregation. In Acts chapter 6, verses 1 through 6, we look at deacons being created in the first Christian church. In 1 Timothy 3, verses 8 through 15 that Raymond just read, we read about the qualifications of a deacon. Tough, hard. If it was easy to attain, then we just wouldn't have a problem. For the 18 active deacons that will serve this year, thank you very much. We are here to serve our God, our church, and our pastor. This is going to be a year of leadership, decision-making, and service. And for the members of the church, we ask and covet your prayers as we do this. Thank you.
For those who have been elected and have not been previously ordained, this is a day of celebration for you. I know it's a time of reflection as well. And in the 9 o'clock service, we heard from both of these ladies. Really enjoyed hearing, as Lori said, my instruction to them were, tell us what got you to this day. And she said, that's a pretty broad, I know, intentionally, that's pretty broad, so that you can kind of work within that. And we're excited. Lori, if you would come first, and then Alice will follow you up, and they'll tell you a little bit about what brought them to this day.
Good morning. I want to begin this morning by saying what an honor it is for me to be standing before you on this Ordination Sunday. I don't think there are adequate words to describe the humbling feelings I have experienced being asked to serve our church in this capacity. I have a deep and sincere love for God and this church, and I feel so blessed to have the opportunity to serve you all as God leads. As Raymond said, the instructions I was given was to share how I got to this point, which seemed like a lot of ground to cover. So I've decided to just focus on three roles in my life that God has used to draw me closer to Him and mold my faith. The first is as a daughter. I was very blessed to have been born into a loving Christian family where I was taken to church by my mom almost immediately. My parents exemplified unconditional godly love to me as a child, and I grew up always knowing the love of Christ, the support of a church family, and the importance of a personal relationship with God. I was baptized along with my best friend at the age of 7 at Fair Plains Baptist Church in North Wilkesboro, which is the only other church I've ever been a member of. My parents always made church a priority for me when I was young, and as I grew, it became a priority of my own. The foundation of my faith was laid in my youth through my church and my family. My mom continues to be a great source of encouragement in my faith, an example of the godly woman that I aspire to be. I really wanted to skip this next part, but God has impressed upon me time and again the role of this experience on my faith journey, and I know that it's definitely part of my how I got here story. When I was 26, I suddenly and unexpectedly lost my dad. It was an incredibly difficult time, but God has used that experience in my life to teach me a great deal. This was when I learned to completely rely on God, when I could tangibly feel His presence, and how I came to appreciate that God truly can make all things work together for my good. God gave me strength, increased my faith, and touched my heart with a compassion like I'd never known. Since that experience, He has helped me better prioritize my life and know what is truly important. I certainly don't pretend to have it all figured out, but I do know that God's faithfulness during that valley in my life has brought me closer to Him and deepened my desire to seek out His will in all that I do. The second role in my life that God has used to draw me closer to Him is being a wife. Jason and I met while we were at Wake Forest as undergrads, and we were married just a couple of months before I lost my dad. I could see God's hand in his timing of providing me with another strong Christian man in my life on whom to rely. Jason sets a strong example for our family and gives me the courage I need to step out on faith and follow God's leading. If you know Jason, you won't be surprised to learn that when we were in our premarital counseling, he scored a 10 out of 10 on the extrovert scale. I was almost as strong in the opposite direction as an introvert. God has used Jason to push me outside my comfort zone and engage with people more. The relationships that I have built and the experiences I have had as a result are priceless. Jason and I work with the youth on Wednesday nights, and one of the activities we do is we go to the bus station each month and hand out water or hot chocolate and crackers to tired travelers. I can say pretty confidently that before Jason, this is a situation I would not have been comfortable in. But now, having been married for almost 12 years, it's pretty much a common experience. And as Jason's wife, I had the pleasure of being his partner for the 6.5 years that he was on staff here. And I had the opportunity to grow close to so many of you who continue to encourage and support me today. The final role that God has used to teach me about his own unconditional love for me is becoming a mother. I know that all of you parents and grandparents here can attest, there is no love like the love you feel for your child. Jason and I have been blessed with two wonderful boys, Thomas and Hampton. Both boys were born in the winter, which means I have spent two Christmases very great with child. God made the story of Jesus' birth very real to me through these experiences. I connected with Mary in a way I never had before and grew in my appreciation of her sacrifice and obedience to God's will. Motherhood has also helped me understand God's love for me. Although it's still beyond my complete comprehension, I better understand the sacrifice that God made for me in sending his son. And I realize that I can never earn his love, but must willingly accept his grace. There has also been no greater opportunity for me to learn of service than through motherhood. It has allowed me to joyfully serve people that I love deeply, and in doing so, trying to look beyond the walls of my own home for ways to serve others. As a result, I have become very involved in a program that provides food to children over the weekends who may not have enough to eat. I felt called to this ministry for a while, but it took some time for me to step out and make that commitment. God has used this ministry to show me that we are compelled to follow his urging, because he doesn't need us to do his work. But if we allow him to use us, we will be blessed in the process. When I was younger, I could never imagine finding the love, closeness, and family at a church other than the one I grew up in. But I have been so blessed to find that here at College Park. Obviously, a lot has happened in my life to bring me to this point. But as you can see, God has used some very common roles, very special roles, but very common roles to make the greatest impact on my life and my faith. I'm so grateful that he brought Jason and me to College Park, and that he has used the ministries of this church and the fellowship of believers to grow our faith and our opportunities to serve. Although I will admit to feeling very unqualified, I am very honored to serve God and this church as a deacon. In closing, as I begin this new role, I just want to share with you a favorite passage of scripture that I lean on frequently, and I'm going to read from Philippians 4:4-9. Rejoice in the Lord always. I will say it again, rejoice. Let your gentleness be evident to all. The Lord is near. Do not be anxious about anything, but in everything, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your request to God. And the peace of God, which transcends all understanding, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. Finally, brothers, whatever is true, whatever is noble, whatever is right, whatever is pure, whatever is lovely, whatever is admirable, if anything is excellent or praiseworthy, think about such things. Whatever you have learned or received or heard from me or seen in me, put it into practice, and the God of peace will be with you.
Those of you that know me know this is not my comfort zone. You can put me in a room with 25 children and I'm in good shape, but this is not my comfort zone. As I look back so far in my life, I can see how different verses of Scripture have been very influential in shaping my life. The first was my mom's favorite verse. It's the one she and my dad raised my brother and me by, Romans 8:28. And we know that in all things, God works for the good of those who love him, who have been called according to his purpose. We heard that quoted in all kinds of situations. They guided us and led us by example, helping us to become the adults we are today. My first memories were of church were at Southside Baptist here in the city. I was a part of the Sunbeams, the GAs, member of Sunday school, and yes, even training union. There was never a question of where we would go on Sunday morning or Sunday night or Wednesday night. We knew it was time for church. I remember also being in the first nativity scene that became a tradition at Southside, became a tradition in our family also. I was one of the first little angels there. My only memory truly is that I had to cover up my black patent leather shoes for a picture that the paper made and you couldn't see my new shoes. I joined the church from the junior choir and spent the rest of my growing up years there at Southside. After college at Coker, and yes, it does really exist, you can just ask Bette Matthews, I came back to Winston-Salem and began teaching at Sedge Garden. There I met Mary Nell, who being the other half of the Mary and Martha team, has blessed my life in many ways. I love teaching, and after over 40 years in education, I've been blessed by the children I've taught. Seeing that light bulb come on when they learned how to read was truly amazing. Don and I met in 1977 and were married in 78, and 35 years later, we have four very special children, two of our own, and two that joined our family in 2008 and 2009, giving us three exceptional grandchildren. And if you don't believe it, they're in the nursery. You can go see them. I was fortunate enough here at College Park to work in the youth department for many years. Seeing these young people today makes me proud to know that I had a small part in helping these children to become successful adults, and hopefully not just some of their sermon topics. I remember different occasions that we spent as youth or working with the youth. One was sliding down the stairs in a sleeping bag, having water dripping from light fixtures. But probably the most memorable was a trip to Gatlinburg where we were supposed to meet our challenges. The first challenge was mountain climbing. We pulled up in the bus to Mount Lecotte, and the rain started, then the hail started, and then a voice from back of the bus says, Raymond, don't you think God's trying to tell us something? The next day was whitewater rafting. It was my first and my last experience. I survived. I also have the T-shirt that says that. The next day was indoor skydiving. And as I was waiting my turn outside a big window with this big turbine making all this noise, suddenly things went very still. We were told that a bolt had broken, and I decided that was divine intervention too. Those years have blessed me so much, and I thank you for trusting me with your children and grandchildren. Another verse that's guided me through some tough times was sent to me on a card from one of our church members during my cancer years. I put it on my mirror, and I read it every time I passed it. It comes from Isaiah 58, verses 8 and 9. Then your light will break forth like the dawn. Your healing will quickly appear. Then your righteousness will go before you, and the glory of the Lord will be your real guard. Then you will call on the Lord, and he will answer. You will cry for help, and he will say, Here I am. That was a very scary and uneasy time for me, but with God's help and the prayers of countless people here and across the country, the love and support of Don and my family, I'm still here today, willing and able to do what God wants me to do. I called on him many times during those years, and he gave me a peace. It's helped me as I continue to go to checkups. I'm not calm, but it's helped me to have some of that peace. The third verse that's come to be a comfort is and a help is from Jeremiah 29:11. For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord, plans to prosper you and not to harm you, plans to give you a hope and a future. I see this verse on the wall in my kitchen, and I read it every morning as I go out on my porch to do my Bible reading and drink my coffee. I know God is with me and will lead me and guide me for whatever he has planned for me. I look forward to serving this church as a deacon. I hope that I can do what God has planned, that I can act justly, that I can love mercy, and I can walk humbly. In closing, I want to share a short story that I found in the papers as I was cleaning out my file cabinet from school 2 years ago. A young woman came to her mother and told her how hard life was, and she just didn't know if she could make it. The mother didn't say a word, but turned and walked to the kitchen and put on 3 pots of water to boil. In the first pot, she placed carrots. In the second pot, she placed eggs. And in the third pot, she placed ground coffee beans. After 20 minutes, she took the items out, and she asked the daughter, "What do you see?" And I can hear the "duh," carrots, eggs, and coffee. Then her mother asked her to feel the carrots, and they were soft. Breaking the egg and pulling off the shell, the egg was very hard. Then the mom asked her to sip the coffee, and the daughter smiled and smelled the rich aroma and tasted the coffee. "But what does it mean?" she said. The mother explained that each item had gone through the same adversity, the boiling water, but they had reacted very differently. The carrots had gone in strong and hard and unrelenting, but after the water had become soft and weak. The egg that had been fragile with a thin outer shell that protected its liquid interior had come out hardened. The ground coffee beans were unique. After the boiling water, they had changed the water. I hope that I can help to change the water here at College Park, and as we strive together to be a beacon in this community, we need not be like the carrots that were strong but came out weak, like the egg that had become hardened and stiff, but that we can be like the coffee beans that changed the water, and that we can give off the sweet aroma of Christ to others here in our community.
Now, as we share together a covenant commitment, I want to ask those who are to be ordained. Alice, if you and Lori would please stand. You have been elected by your church family to serve as a deacon. Today, we have come to formally ordain you to the office. But before we proceed, we would like to hear your intentions concerning the fulfillment of this responsibility. Do you believe in your heart that you are truly called according to the will of our Lord Jesus Christ to the ministry of a deacon? Will you fulfill the duties and responsibilities of the office of a deacon, some of which are to be a fellow servant of Christ with the pastor in the church, to set an example of moral uprightness and dedication to the will of God, to be a leader with the pastor in seeking to fulfill the mission of the church, seek to build harmony in the life and ministries of the church? Will you seek to be a person of faith and vision, always open to opportunities for witness, and fresh ways of ministry and service as God may lead? I want to ask those who are being installed if you would join Alice and Lori in standing now. You have been elected to serve as deacon at College Park, and you've declared your willingness to serve. I ask your assent to the following questions. Do you affirm your allegiance to Jesus Christ and His church? Do you accept the office of deacon in the church and promise faithfully to perform its duties? Do you promise to seek to be open to the Holy Spirit, to be used for the fulfillment of God's purpose in His church, and to cooperate with the pastor and members in promoting harmony and effectiveness in all its ministries? To those who will continue to serve as active deacons, do you who are presently serving as active deacons reaffirm your allegiance to Jesus Christ and His church? And do you pledge to unite with these members of the diaconate in faithful service, seeking always to let Christ be lifted up? If so, would you let it be known, please, by joining them in standing? And to you, the members of College Park, do you pledge yourselves anew to the person of Christ and His church? And do you acknowledge and receive these new deacons, these new persons as deacons? And do you promise to encourage and pray for them in their office and to cooperate with them in the fulfillment of the mission of the church? If so, would you please join them in standing? As your brother in Christ and as your pastor, I charge you, the candidates, and you, College Park, to remember the covenant that we've made together today with each other, and to carry out these promises faithfully as God gives us wisdom and strength. Thank you. You may be seated. I'm going to ask Lori and Alice now if they would take their place here on the kneeling bench. And this is a time where we have, it says in the program here, laying on of hands. This is a scriptural practice. There is nothing strange or odd or creepy about it. It is a biblical practice whereby those who are being set apart are encouraged. They are prayed for. Words of encouragement are offered to them. And we want to give everybody an opportunity. But let me ask for your patience in this. During this time, the formal time of laying on of hands, we want to ask those who have been previously ordained as ministers or as deacons to feel free to come, as well as family members and extended family, if they want to come do that. I want to ask if you would, if you don't fall into one of those two categories, they're going to be here at the conclusion of the service. And I ask you if you would, if you don't mind, please reserve your time of speaking with them for that time, just for the sake of our time together this morning. Okay? So I want to ask those now who are deacons, ordained deacons, or ordained ministers, as well as family members, if you want to come and offer encouragement and prayers for these. I can tell you that for those who are accustomed to giving, this is very humbling, because those who love to give generally don't like to receive. It's a little awkward for them. So for these two ladies who you know have servants' hearts, this is an incredibly humbling experience, but it's also an incredibly spiritual time for them. So thank you for your patience and staying with us today. Thank you for your prayers. I've prayed for both of them that God would protect them, because Satan is not at all happy about what's taking place here this morning. He is not at all happy, because he recognizes in them their heart and their heart for ministry and giving to you and serving this church and the kingdom. So as we pray together, let your prayers be diverse, even as you are diverse as a people, but also let them be focused in protection for these ladies and their families in the days and weeks and months as they serve. Let's pray together. Gracious Father, you've heard our prayers. You've heard the words of encouragement. Father, we know that you know their hearts because you created them and you've sustained them. Father, you've gifted them in glorious ways. We thank you for their obedience, Father. And now as they go from this day forward, we know that they're forever changed in a magnificent way. Not because of anything that we've said, but because of how you've touched their lives and blessed them. For it's in Jesus' precious name that we pray. Amen. I want to give you an opportunity to respond. If you're not yet a believer and you've been touched by what you've experienced, we want to give you an opportunity to have a relationship with Jesus Christ. If you're here and you say, Raymond, I am a believer, but wow, you know, maybe I'm just really not serving like I need to. We want to give you a time to recommit. You can do that where you're seated, or I'll be glad to speak with you as well. And if you're here and you'd like to be a member of this church, there's many ways we receive members. I'll be glad to talk with you. And we want to give you that opportunity as we stand and sing together now.